This is going to be noisy. It's the news, according to me. Good morning, all my faithful friends. It is October 31st. I guess it's Halloween, isn't it? I don't know. 8:36 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I am your host, Kevin. I'm here. Yes, I'm here for you. Letting you know what's going on in the world of media. The craziness that's happening here before our election. We have a noisy show for you. I want to play music in the background. I really thought about doing this show this morning from the worldwide headquarters. That is the one place where it is standardly quiet. But there's going to be issues today. I am not here alone, and there's someone in the house that's on a mission. So, just saying, it's going to be, I might hear some background noise. Let's just put it that way. More than just the dog, digging his way to the china in the floor here. The nice thing is she's keeping the animals busy, so they may not bother me as much. But in my cup, I have creamy chai, Almond Joy creamer, and yes, oh, that's good. Sweet tea with peaches in it, real peaches. Yeah, good stuff. So we have a few things we can talk about today. But the big news right now is the garbage man cometh. The garbage guy. This whole thing, Joe Biden made this comment about calling Trump supporters garbage, and he said it that way. He didn't. Let's not mince words. The Jean-Claude Pierre, whatever her name is, she came out recently, and of course, now when she talks. This one, let's see if I can find this. Maybe I can find this. Statement. Let's put this in here. White House statement on garbage. Let's see what we've got here. Because Jean-Claude. Here's. Let's see if this is. That's an hour long. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to find a short that just has her saying what she's. Where'd it go? Here we go. That's 47 minutes long. Yes. I'm noticing a tremendous amount of scrubbing by Google and YouTube. I hardly ever click on CNN and MSNBC. Hardly ever. My feed, if I put anything into search, I have CNN, BBC. What's that? On demand news. I don't know what that is. Sky News Australia does that. Sky News Australia. News Nation, CNN. MSNBC, CNN. That's not even related to what I searched for. CNN, Newswatch, Washington Examiner. Hearst Television, I don't know what that is. Inside Edition. CNN, MSNBC, ABC. Nothing. I see no Fox whatsoever. No Fox News. Yeah, there's no MSNBC, New York Post, CNN. Live Now from Fox. That's a local Fox station. I don't understand what they think, how they think. Well, they apparently they get away with it. I mean, it obviously has influence, but I don't understand how they can get away with it. it amazes me. Now, keep in mind, I've been trying to compile this list, and it just keeps getting longer and longer. And I probably one of these days I'm going to read it off. I should have probably done it today because it's going to be – I'll probably do it the day before the election. I'm going to talk about – on Monday I'll probably have this list compiled of all the different conspiracies, all the different things that have been said over the last 8 years that we were supposed to just believe, hook, line, and sinker. They would tell us with a straight face, adamantly, and if you went against them and said anything else – you were a conspiracy theorist. You were to be banned. You were to be censored because it was misinformation. That all became true. Think about that. Think about how ridiculous that is. People are censored. Their lives. Some people's lives are changed by this stuff. If you're a YouTuber, and that's your, unfortunately, if you've made that choice in your life, and you've become dependent on YouTube as your income or a particular social media platform as your income, and you say the wrong thing and you get censored, that's your livelihood has been severely damaged. It's threatened. And more than threatened, it's destroyed in some cases. There were people during COVID who lost their channels. They got deplatformed, defunded. They still do this today. They have ways of playing these games where many of these content creators, especially around the world of politics, you know, the news cycle is only so long. What they will do, some of these guys have millions of followers. Now, interestingly enough, like people like Mark Dice, they get up to like almost 2 million subscribers, and all of a sudden they can't break that barrier. All of a sudden, the only people who are watching their show are subscribers. The video is not reaching anyone who's not a subscriber anymore. In other words, YouTube's not posting it anywhere else. Even though they'll have 100,000 views, YouTube doesn't put it in anybody's feed. Just like this deal where I've got nothing but CNN here. There should be 100 other things there that are possibly, you know, being watched. Now, either CNN is playing a really good SOE game, search engine SEO, I guess it is, as a search engine optimization game. You know, either they're really good with the algorithms, or it's Google themselves that are posting this stuff. And it is Google themselves. Now, probably what's happening is Google's giving them a code to put in somewhere, so that Google can say that, well, it's not us. This is just the algorithm. They're just playing the game right. They're just putting in the right keywords. I wouldn't be surprised if that kind of thing is happening. If they're giving them some kind of special, here, put this keyword in there, put this particular formula in, and this will push you to the top. I'm not going to share this with anybody else. You guys do this for your videos. It'll push your videos out there. If nobody else is doing that, then they're not going to be. So it's one of those things where the slanted trickery, the manipulation of the American people are just mind-boggling. But during all this time, we're the enemy. And we're supposedly. It's to make us feel smaller. And what is amazing to me is there's about 300 million people in this country, and probably 200 million would be considered center right. This nation is considered center right. If you really polled everybody and asked them the real question, there are people in the center who think that they're more of a Democrat, or they think they're more independent. There are a lot of them that are actually, when you start asking them specific questions, things about the border, things about health, freedom, First Amendment, Second Amendment, start asking them some of these questions about standard, you know, big government versus smaller government, government control. Most of them, if you ask them all those questions specifically, they will tend to just fall right down in line with, Even issues of right to life, they will typically fall right in line with what I would call more of a conservative ideology. But that's not the way they would have you believe. The media would have you, they shame you if if you're not a socialist, because if you're not a collectivist, because after all, they're the moral standard. They're the ones who care, and they're so compassionate about all these people who, they have so much compassion for these people who can't vote, these people who can't afford health care. You know, the Obamacare thing, by the way, we can go back 16 years, 20 years, into all the things that have been said that we were supposed to believe, just believe hook, line, and sinker, which most people did. I'm guilty of it. I bought right into the whole George W. Bush thing. I was a big H.W. Bush supporter. Of course, now this is back in a time when government did not have as much influence in our lives. It had influence in our lives, but it was being taken away, but we didn't see it at that time. We still thought we were free and independent. And we weren't. And I think people started waking up. One, I think, and I can't remember when, I think, was it 2008? I think it was 2008. It had to have been before that, though. It had to have been in the 2000 election, because I specifically remember voting, giving to a campaign, a particular campaign back in, and I know where I, at the house that we lived in at that time was, it would have been back in 2000. Now, it's possible it could have been the 2004 election. But George Bush was very popular in 2004. Swept the nation, basically because of the whole 9/11 thing that happened. He was still riding on that wave. It would have been very difficult to beat George Bush. Now, I think it was it Kerry? Ran against him. I'm pretty sure it was Kerry that ran against him. In the 2000 primary, there were several people who were running, and one of them was very good at educating people on liberty and freedom, helping us understand. If it had not been for him, I would not have the understanding of our founding fathers the way I do right now. Or at least I would not have had it for as long as I have. Maybe somebody else would have come along. Maybe I would have just, figured it out on my own. I don't know. But that really lit the match for me. That was the spark. It only takes a spark. So it just gets a fire going. All of a sudden it tricks, that light comes on and you cannot see the Constitution or your freedoms, your independence, your liberty. You cannot see it any differently after that. It is all of a sudden, this all falls into place. This is what the founders wanted. This is what the founders were. This is what their intent was. And you start reading some of the Federalist Papers and some of the letters being passed around, between the founders, which I have to say, some people will pull some of these things out with what the founders said, and some of the things they had to do. There was some compromise involved in some of this stuff. There were some that were purists in respect to individual liberty and sovereignty and understanding of personal liberties. And there were they had to kind of compromise with some of these. I would say more of them were power hungry. I would call them. Even in that day, very slightly, but they just thought government should have more control, more power. I think that even those founders would be appalled at what's happening today. So I've always wondered, if you could bring all these guys back. And set them down, bring them in a time machine and just bring them forward here, put them here for, just a week. They would probably be the first one storming the Capitol right now. I don't know. These guys were radically committed to liberty and freedom for individuals. They did not want to see us, you know, a king lording over us at all. And they didn't want government to be, in, you know, a parliamentary government or a representative government. They didn't want to see this government thing take over the place of a king. And now with their, you know, the power that the government has, the presidential powers now, supposedly, are more and more turning into that. And people are looking more and more to the president as being the king. The president was supposed to be the one who presides over the executive branch. And then you have the legislative branch and the judicial branch. And you have, so you have these, and they have these different checks and balances within each one. So you have Congress with the Senate and the House. And the reason that the Senate was designed differently with different rules, one being the filibuster, which Kamala Harris wants to get rid of. She's one of the first things she wants to get rid of is the filibuster. We got to get rid of that. Filibuster provides, and what that is that's basically a 60% vote in the Senate to pass. It used to be to pass anything. Now it's just they've gotten rid of it on certain things, certain terms. I think now the only thing it pertains to is budget. So when the House, you know, by majority rule in the House, you know, if it's 51%, they get it passed through the House, it goes to the Senate. The Senate has to have 60%. Now, the other issues, I think there's still, like, treaties, I think treaties still have to be 60% ratified by the Senate. The president can't just go out and agree, you know, sign a treaty, like the Paris Accords, on his own, if it's considered a treaty. President can't do that by himself. It has to be ratified by the Congress, or has to be ratified by Senate, and the Senate basically has to approve it by 60%, two-thirds majority, whatever you call it. So that's where we're at. Now, Democrats want to change all that. They just want to make it just another majority rule, because that's what democracy is. Democracy is majority rule. A pure democracy, not a white democracy. I'm not talking about a pure. For some reason, when I say pure democracy, the founders thought a pure democracy was a democracy by white people. Where do they come up with that? Because there must be some obscure letter out there somewhere. This is a lot like the stuff that they say about everything else when they just come up with some stuff, and like they'll make up stuff about Trump, call them suckers and losers. Find people on both sides. Wants to get rid of the Constitution. Wants to be a dictator on day one. Now they got this new thing out there that it's where Trump says something about I don't care what the women think or what he says something about this. He's talking about something. He wants to make a statement about immigration. If you listen to the context, it's like, wait a minute. He's not talking about going against women. He's talking about protecting women. And they took this statement out of context and just keep playing it over and over and over. But if you listen to the entire sentence, or the, you know, heaven forbid, they should allow the entire paragraph of what he said in his speech, you realize what he's really saying there. The real word is that he's talking about protecting women. But that's not the way they portray it. And yet, they're the ones who are telling us that we don't have the right to misinformation, especially when it comes to our democracy. You don't have the right to misinformation or whatever else Walz said, just a little speech. So now they're claiming that Joe Biden didn't actually say that. He didn't mean that. He's clarifying his statement. He wasn't calling people garbage. That's what he called them. Just let it ride. Come out and apologize. Why don't you just come out and apologize? You know, I said that. I didn't really mean. Let's hear it from Joe himself. Let's hear Joe come out and apologize and say, you know, I know I said it this way, but this is really what I meant. I didn't mean that people were garbage. But their votes are going to be garbage if they throw it away on voting for this guy. That's whatever they want to say. But I don't know what she actually said. I was trying to look for it. I can't find it anywhere. And it's. But they can't do that. They can't apologize because they know that shows weakness. Now, if you apologize right away, you will find out just how weak they think you are. And here we have WNEP. Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was running for president at one time, or was actually, I don't know if he was running for president. He ran for governor. He was governor of California. And of course, California. He gave a speech at the GOP at the RNC one year, and it was you know, flag waving, all kinds of really important stuff. It was all an act. This guy's a mess. But he's endorsing Kamala Harris for president, of course, because he has to. Because he cares about America. He didn't care about America. He's not. Oh, here we go. This might be it right here. Is this this might be the garbage statement? I don't know. This is I don't know. Let's see if I'm gonna kind of let this play behind. We'll see what we get. Yeah, so this is the guy making the statement. Oh, my chai is getting cold, by the way. I don't know what to do about that. Chai has a funny effect on my vocal cords. I have to be kind of careful. If I'm doing voiceover work, I cannot drink chai while I'm doing it. I have to be drinking preferably tea with honey and also a little bit of liquid coconut oil. That is actually an incredible lubricant for the vocal cords. It does an awesome job of being very consistent with my voice. Now, if I want a raspy voice, I probably could drink. There's several other things you can drink to make your voice raspy and make it more, you know, give you the early morning voice, the movie trailer guy voice, which I've done before. I've done a few trailers for. I don't talk about this much, but I back in the day, back about a year, two years ago, probably a little more than 2 years ago, I guess. It's probably 3 years ago now. I was doing the trailers for LA's Finest, which is on the Spectrum Network. So I was the guy who would say, only on Spectrum and only on demand. I would say, you know, this week on LA's Finest, Jessica Alba, Danielle Gabrielle. Whatever, you know, I was the guy who, for three seasons, I did all their trailers. I now do some stuff for some of the medical, some of these pill commercials. I do some of that stuff now, and it's been, let's just say there must be some money involved in this stuff, because they pay rather well, I must say. Some of my biggest clients. So there are some national stuff that I still do. And it's that's been kind of fun. The yeah. Anyway. In fact, I need to get a hold of that person. There's some of them owe me some money. I need to go after them. You can pay me my money. So we have a lot of things like that going on. I hardly ever talk about that. I am trying to put together some things. I've been working on trying to put together a course. I had some momentum for a while, and I kind of lost it because I was in the process of changing jobs, my side job. I consider voiceover to be my actual career. I have another job I'm doing right now. This pays really well. I'm still doing it because it just pays well. But the voiceover thing is really what I really want to, that's what I really enjoy doing. And I could do that all day, every day, and still keep doing it. I enjoy doing it. It's just a fun thing to do for me, and trench and coaching others to do it as well. It's been kind of a fun thing. I just haven't had time to do much of that lately. Still have people calling me doing stuff, but I just don't do as many. I haven't been expanding the business the way I should be. I will be doing that soon, and I hope to have it set up more and more towards kind of retirement time to be doing that well into my 70s, probably. We'll see how it goes. I'll just be an old man, and I'll still be doing voiceovers. That's right. This week on LA's Finest. Yeah. Maybe I could do the Andy and Opie show. Andy and Opie this week. Yeah, okay, whatever. that's the return of Andy and Opie. For those of you who don't know what that is. Where was I? The election's coming up. We have more and more, there's going to be more and more intensity with the scouring of things going on. Now, there have already been a lot of shenanigans discovered. And of course, this stuff's all being scrubbed from the internet. I was watching some stuff last night talking about Robert Gavea. He's a lawyer. I'm not a lawyer, by the way. I'm not a doctor or a financial counselor, psychoanalyst. I'm not a dentist. I have, there's a lot of input, really good input from Robert Gavea. He's very entertaining to listen to. He can read a trial transcript, and it's interesting the way he kind of portrays each of the characters and kind of puts his own little spin on what's going on in the courtroom. And it's actually pretty entertaining to listen to him tell the story. But he's kind of more of a storyteller and kind of an actor in the middle of it all. It's an awesome job. He is very informative, very, very good at kind of educating people on what the law says, what mens rea is. I've learned all kinds of legal terms I would have no idea what any of those things would have been. It's interesting how things have been scrubbed, but his stuff hasn't been scrubbed very much. But he puts out a lot of content. He's gone into it full time. He was a partner in this law firm, and his YouTube channel was taking off so well, especially after the 2020 election. And what was going on in 2022? I think it was 2022. They actually went full time into this. He's still a part of the law firm, but he runs the department that does all the YouTube videos because it has exploded and it's taken off really well. Apparently, obviously, they're making some money. He gets a lot of donations and stuff, that kind of thing, but he also gets a lot of YouTube revenue. But he's got a social network now that goes well beyond YouTube. And he has, he puts out shorts, he puts out his main live stream, and then from that live stream, they divide it up into sections in different departments. It's brilliant the way he does it. And then he has all these little shorts. So he has shorts, which are 1 minute long. And then those shorts connect you to these other little 10 to 15, sometimes 20 minutes long segments of his show. And then he, of course, puts out the show itself every day, which is brilliant. Of course, then he has a lot of content that he can put out over the weekend. So he's, every few hours, you're getting something from this guy, and it might be a repeat of something that was on his show, but it might also be just a short, could be something where he's just doing a walkabout. So he goes out in the morning, does a walk, and he also records that while he's walking. He talks. It's a walk and talk or whatever it calls it. So it's very good stuff, and he's very committed to it. Very, very talented with what he does, and he's very informative. So his stuff has been just killing it in terms of what's going on. One of the main things he's going after right now, of course, he's been watching all the cases between Trump and some of the lawfare that's been going on against Trump, but also some of the things that have been happening behind the scenes with other people, other lawsuits surrounding Trump. The people that they've gone after everybody around Trump, locked up several people, Steve Bannon and Navarro, some of those people that they've gone after, Roger Stone, all those people that they've gone after, and then of course you have in all the other lawsuits that are out there concerning election fraud, election issues, very clearly lets you know what's going on there. And that's why it's so upsetting and so frustrating, because once you understand what's going on, it's very, very, the general American public, I don't think, understands or even has any interest in what's really going on. They just hear, I didn't have standing. People don't know what it means when they say that you don't have standing. They don't even get that. They don't understand what general concepts and procedures are within the legal system. And I think that's, people just disconnect because they don't understand how they're being ripped off here. And he's very good at explaining those things. He's got a little, I think he's part of his group is called Watching the Watchers. Now, there's a couple different groups that call themselves that, but it's Robert Govea and their law firm that's behind that kind of thing. He's out in Arizona. Anyway, the shenanigans have already started. There's a lot of things that are happening. Now, there's a little quiet lawsuit that's happening in the background concerning these guys, the 51 individuals who were in the intelligence agency, who said that the Hunter laptop had all the earmarks. They didn't call it a Russian they didn't say it was Russian disinformation. It said it has all the hallmarks of all the hallmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign. They were very careful in the way they crafted this letter. It left them an out, saying, "Well, we have plausible deniability here. We didn't specifically say it was. We just said it looks like it might be." Now, they won't tell us what these earmarks are. And this might have been my concern, is to point out some things that are in this laptop, how they created gigabytes, terabytes of information from this guy's laptop, with pictures and video and all kinds of other things of him, things that he said, information that only he would have, copy and pastes of things that were straight out of documents that were probably in his garage, classified information. And how all this stuff got in there, apparently, Russia is really good at it, apparently. So if I was on, I don't know why some of these guys, when they get pushed back, what do you think the 2020 election was? Are you going to say the 2020 election was rigged? Well, let me ask you this. I would just turn right around. I wouldn't even answer that question. I would just turn right around to them and say, start questioning them about the 2016 election. Do you still believe that Russia hacked the 2016 election? Do you believe that 2016 election was hacked? Because they have not come out and apologized. They have not come out and said anything about it. The big bombshell in the whole Mueller investigation was the day that they said Trump and his family had nothing to do with the Russian interference. Now, they came out right away and said, make no mistake, Russia did interfere in the 2016 election. But they can't find any connection between them and Russia, between Trump and Russia. Okay, so that brings up some questions. Since you spent $40 million on this, how much influence did the Russians have in their effect on our elections in 2016? And who's responsible for that? Is that Barack Obama? Because his administration was in charge when that happened. And was it wide enough spread that it affected the outcome of the election? See, they won't answer these kinds of questions because nobody's asking them, first of all. But those are the questions we really need to have answered. They just use this as talking points and wedges and cudgels to just push their way through on so many of these things. And we just, people don't, they just hear the words and they just go on with their next, because they have a life to live. I don't have much going on. I have time to think about this stuff. I can think about it for you. These are the kind of questions that we have to start asking. Now, recently there was a, I think it was in Arizona, there was a release of, this kind of blows my mind. There was this release of passwords for the BIOS systems in the voting machines in Arizona. Now, when this happened back in, I think it was 2016 or 2020. Anyway, it might have been 2020. Happened in a previous election. The same attorney general came out, or the same person who was in charge of the elections, whatever it was, a county. I don't know if it's a county issue, a county, whatever it is. The same person came out and said, this alone, because there was more to this other case. There was a lot more things going on. It was a broader case of fraud. It was being brought against somebody else. But they came out with this statement. This person who now is telling us that this doesn't matter, this is going to affect the election. They said this alone, this BIOS loss, or this release of all these passwords, does not. They're claiming that back when the other person did it, that one thing alone was destroying the credibility of the election. Now they're saying, oh, no, it doesn't have, this isn't the same thing, and it's, even though it's the same thing. And this one reporter was actually asking a lot of questions and kept pushing back on this whole thing. Kudos to him. I guess there are some people that live there locally who've made some comments and said this reporter is not really that old. He's just trying to make a name for himself. It's as most people are. But it's interesting to hear him talk about all this, because it's, he actually was pushing some pretty good questions and pushing her back in a corner in this whole thing, trying to make her explain what was going on. And she was not doing real well with this whole thing. She was actually, I would say, flailing. Pretty interesting stuff. So there's, again, it's weird stuff happening. Now, Nevada, supposedly, you know, there's a lot of things that are, I try to think through all this stuff about what's the advantage? What could they manipulate? What could possibly go wrong? I'm always the critical thinker, I guess. It's one of the things I get paid to do in the job that I do for the company I work for is critical thinking. If this happens, this, we have to do this. If that happens, we have to do this. What if all this happens? What does this lead to? What's the ramifications of that happening here, that happening there? At this point, if that happens, what should we do? If we get past that point and we get to this point, then what are our options? There's this diminishing returns kind of thing of what are our options start to diminish as we continue to go forward with this thing? What is the best path through this particular track that we're on? What are the advantages and disadvantages of going a different direction with this? All those things have to be weighed out. And you're constantly in that genre. You're constantly in that mindset of asking yourself all the what ifs. Now, so this is one of the things that we're here looking at in terms of, okay, so early, all these early votes. One of the things with the drop boxes. Who would have thought that they would just be lit on fire? I guess they have some kind of, it's kind of like an airplane waste basket fire suppression system inside them or something, I guess. They're supposed to stop the fire. If somebody tries to set it on fire, it's not going to stop somebody from blowing it up or from driving over it with a cement truck or whatever they're going to do. I don't know. It's just, you know, some way of destroying all the ballots. And the chain of custody, you know, those kinds of things that are all at risk because you have more ballots out there doing all kinds of things. And then what? Cameras can be jammed. You know, all kinds of things can be done. It's just this gets ridiculous, you know, when you start looking at all this kind of stuff. The integrity, this is, and I think Hugh, what's the guy's name? Prager University. PragerU. Put out a very interesting short. I thought it was very good. He said, you know, election day The Democrats have destroyed Election Day. Maybe I can find this because I just... Where'd it go? History. Let's just go there because I just watched this a little bit ago. It was a short. Yeah, we'll have to figure out. Yeah, that's... Yeah, some fun stuff there. We have, here it is. This is it. Let's just listen to this. I think he puts this, it's very interesting how he puts this. It's
what the Democrats have done to Election Day is part of my thesis that everything the left touches, it destroys. They destroyed Election Day. It was such a noble day in American history. Unless you had reason to be out of town, you voted on Election Day. You'd go with your parents to the booth. It was a beautiful ritual in American life. They destroyed Election Day. It's now Election Month. In some cases, Election 2 months. Also, we knew
election season
in the day of paper ballots, with very rare exceptions, we knew within hours of polls closing who won. Not any longer. We're now told in advance, you know, it may take days till we know what the Democrats have done.
Yeah, there we go. That's where I think we're at with this whole thing. I think we always have seen Election Day as kind of this, not sacred in the religious sense, but sacred in terms of history, the history of our country, a set apart day in the history of our country where we, you know, history is made, history is changed, where the people have a voice. It was a special day. And now it's not. It's not anymore. It's just this ongoing, wacky, crazy, mail them in, drop them in a box, get them harvested, whatever, you know, somebody just shows up at your door, fill out your ballot, take it away. It's just weird stuff, weird stuff. And I think that's what's been lost through this whole process, because they have found ways to circumvent Election Day, because it's, you couldn't fool with that. You couldn't mess with that. I mean, it was much, much more difficult. Because, first of all, they didn't, you know, like going into the 2016 election, I think they were caught off guard. They all thought Hillary was going to win. Hillary's going to win. This is over. There's no way Donald Trump wins. Donald Trump is a joke. He can't win. He outperformed the polls. And voila, there we are. And all of a sudden, there was devastation. Of course, the reason she lost is because Russians hacked it. That was found to be untrue, among many other things that were going on. And the reason I'm convinced that they didn't do as much with regard to the cheating aspect, the shenanigans, if you will, is because they thought they were going to win. They thought this was a shoe-in. We can relax. This is going to be easy. Hillary's got this. And she lost. And they overplayed their hand, I think, in 2020. They went all out. Quote, water mains breaking. Have to stop the votes. Have to close the facility. Except for the counters. The monitors can't be there, but the counters can. They can stay. They're going to stay there for a while and count some more votes. We just found a couple extra boxes here on this table. I'm just going to count those real quick. I'm going to run a few of these through more a few more times just to make sure that they took. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to cover up the windows here with cardboard boxes because we don't have anybody looking in there to see what's going on. It's in Michigan. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to change the rules over here, and we're going to let people... Here's what happened. I think this happened in Michigan, I believe. Maybe it was somewhere else. Maybe it was Arizona. It was one of the swing states. There was a student. Now, the only reason they caught this guy is because he reported it himself. He actually told on himself. Then they prosecuted him. Is that what happened to Joe Biden when he told, self-disclosed that he had classified documents that he stole? He literally stole these documents. You have to understand, he never was classified to see these. He was never certified to have these documents in his personal possession. Never. Oh, I got some classified documents here that I got from 1970s, back when I was a senator. And I wasn't supposed to have them then. I'm not supposed to have them now. And even though now I'm the president, I really shouldn't have had them, before I was president. Even as vice president, I would, But I have them here in my garage. They're not kept in any place. Nobody knows they're here. I just found them. Because, we found some in a couple other places, too. A university office and a couple other places, a closet. Well, he self-disclosed it. He returned them. As soon as he found them, he returned them. This guy finds out that he voted and he shouldn't have voted. He went back and asked for his ballot back. They prosecuted him. They're prosecuting this guy. Now, I think he's going to get off. Any judge looks at this and says, this guy made a mistake. He's from Japan. He was mailed a ballot because he was allowed to register to vote. Simply, he went in and registered to vote. He thought he could. So he registered to vote with his student ID. I think he had a student ID and a utility bill or something in his name. He allowed because so now he's a resident. So they sent him a ballot. So he filled it out and he voted. Now, my guess is he didn't vote for Kamala. He probably let the cat out of the bag that he voted for Trump, and that's why they're prosecuting. This is my guess. Either that or they're making an example out of this guy. In fact, I would not be surprised if this whole thing was a setup. If he did it on purpose. And it's all part of a scam to say, oh, look, we're so diligent, we caught this guy. One guy tried to slip through and we caught him. Even just, not even one vote can make it through without us catching them and prosecuting them. In some of these states where they're basically just sending out ballots. They're just sending them out. All these people are on the voter rolls. In some cases, they don't ever get sent out. There have been cases of people not receiving ballots in the mail. They go down to find out where their ballot is, and they find out they've already voted. How does that happen? Is it the postal system? Who's in the chain of custody here with this ballots? And again, this comes back to this whole thing of election day. It's very difficult to, because you go in, they check your name off on a list. I think in Indiana we have voter ID here. You go in, you show them your ID, they check your name off on the list, they hand you a ballot, you go in and vote, and they put it into a machine, which is a little bit And of course, when they do hand counts, this is the thing about, in Georgia, I know this was the case. We're going to go back and hand audit these ballots. The hand audits were not, they weren't, it's not like they're going back and hand counting all the ballots. That's what they were given the impression. When they put this out there in the news, it sounds like they're going back and hand counting all the ballots. That's not what's happening. They are specifically counting. This isn't random. They go in and they pick up, what do they call it? I can't think of the word. It's just they find certain segments. They just pick out little samples here and there of ballots. So that they might pick out 100 here, 100 there, different counties. They count them, make sure everything's accurate. Yep, those 100 ballots represent 10,000 ballots. Whatever the ratio is, I don't know what it is, but they're not counting every ballot. You could have literally tens of thousands or 100,000 of ballots that are, especially in some counties, that are completely bogus. And you wouldn't know because with a sample audit like that. But they made it sound like this was all being done on the up and up. Oh, we're going to go back and hand audit all this stuff. No, that's not what was happening. They knew exactly the counties that they were sampling, everything else that they were doing. They knew exactly what they were doing. Those are the kind of shenanigans that we have. And of course, this is why they're saying we may not know for weeks after the election who really won all of a sudden, because this is, you know, Joe Biden is now, it's his administration, it's his DOJ, it's his people. Apparently they can't run an election as well as Donald Trump can, because Donald Trump had the most pristine election of our history, the history of our country. In 2020, under the Trump administration, apparently they were much better at doing elections at the federal level than what we are here with Barack Obama or Joe Biden. Oh, there's a no exclusion, 15% off any single item. Members or save early. Thursday, October 31st. That's today. I think I may have to go buy some things at Harbor Freight here today. I don't know. This is just very possible. Any single item. Like, I'll get this $3 sanding disc. That'll give me, is it 45 cents off? Something like that. I don't know what it is. I could buy a welder, get 15% off, or a toolbox. But, you know, I think I'll just get some kind of $2 item. Just get 30 cents off something. I don't know. It's that's the way my brain thinks sometimes. Buy high, sell low. I think that's what they say. Folks, it's been a long show. I need to wrap it up here in a little bit. Again, the FBI, CIA, I think they're under the gun. There is a lawsuit basically being filed against them for their interference in the 2020 election, mostly concerning some of the things about the laptop as well as some other things that they've been saying. Now, they are involved in this election as well. There's 50-some people that are saying some things about the election. Again, I can't remember what it is, but these guys just never give up. Some of these people should go to prison, in my opinion. They should definitely not be involved in any way. Shouldn't have any credibility, obviously. I don't know. We'll see what happens with this new with Trump being in office. The Democrats are losing miserably. And I don't think anybody on the Democrat side this time is saying, like they were with Hillary, oh, she's going to win. I think one of the things that Kamala did recently, which was, I think she's trying to be more inclusive. This was an attempt. I thought it was a good attempt. The way she went about it was just stupid. And I think it's just what she did was everybody was, they were chanting Kamala, Kamala, Kamala. And she said, okay, I appreciate that. She didn't say on the count of three. She just said, I want everybody just to say your own name. Just yell out your own name. Of course, it went, yeah. And because it wasn't very, very well organized. A good leader knows how to get, on the count. I'm going to count down from three. And I want you guys to say your own name. Because this is about you. Well, it's not about you. But that's at least she's trying to get some effort there. This is the whole thing about 2016 was I'm with her. Well, shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't she be saying I'm with you? Because people don't look at those kinds of words. Who's being put in the place of power here? The people are supposed to have the power, not somebody that we choose to lord over us. And yet that's been the mentality, unfortunately, of our country. It's been happening over and over and over. So it's very possible I might have a show tomorrow morning. If I do, it's going to be very, very short. I'm going to be able to have a chance to, I'm going to personally be listening to Jonathan Kahn this evening. I will be at a conference where he will be speaking. And frankly, I think he's going to speak tomorrow morning a little bit as well. But he's speaking tonight as kind of the opening speaker. And in my opinion, I could just listen to him and then go home. Well, it's just it'll be interesting. I mean, there's some other speakers going to be there this weekend. But it's one of those things where I really. Some of them are, I don't really need to listen to, but most of them are really good. So as we get into the weekend here, again, tomorrow morning, maybe a little bit of a show. I might actually be able to do a little bit of a show tonight, record it earlier, do something like that. We'll see how things go. Depends on what the news cycle is like. If nothing much happens, there's gotta be, the next 24 hours, there's going to be something crazy happen because we are coming into the weekend. And I'm sure this weekend's going to have some crazy news. Now, I might have a show over the weekend as well. If anything crazy breaks in, I might have some what I call breakthrough news. And according to me. And then we'll go from there. But it's one of those things where I think that as we're pressing into the weekend, it's just going to get more and more intense. The search algorithms are going to be more and more enforced. They're going to turn the heat up on some of these things. Now, in 2020 and 2016, in 2020 especially, they were ramping the things up 6 months prior to the election. Of course, with the COVID and everything else that was going on, they were getting away with all that. But now, this year, people are watching them, so I think they're gonna wait till the last minute to have more of this influence and do more of it. They're getting very sneaky with it now, getting very good at it. So we'll see how that goes. So, folks, pray for our nation, pray for each other, pray for the outcome of this election to be on the up and up. The shenanigans will be minimized and it will be exposed and true out transparency. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your day and take care. See ya.